Good morning and Happy New Year. Our gospel lesson this morning is one of the most well-known stories in the Bible. And yet, what we know about the factual details of this story are really quite minimal. What the story in Scripture does not actually tell us is this, that those who came to see Jesus were necessarily kings, that those were coming were necessarily three of whoever it was that came, how long it actually took them to get there, how old Jesus was when they arrived for their eventual visit. Nor do we really know anything about that infamous star. But even so, this remains a central story in our tradition. It is the story that has become the cornerstone of our annual celebration of the Feast of the Epiphany, which, for those who are attentive to detail, was actually yesterday, but we are transferring and celebrating that feast day today, because I didn't think I could get any of you here yesterday. We read this story each year on this feast day and try to glean from it a new sense of how God might be revealing God's self, God's love, and God's purpose in our lives today. This morning, I want to offer a different version of this maybe too well-known story in hopes that we might hear a new invitation or gain new insight or perspective for us here at Trinity in this time and place. I believe in the power of stories to shape our lives and inspire us to be more than we can imagine on our own. I am less interested in verifiable facts and empirical data when it comes to feeding our souls and sparking our imaginations. I invite us to let the story, as I'm going to present it, come alive today, and then perhaps we can decide together on the basis of our own tears or laughter or perplexed anxiety whether any of this in this new story may be true. So sit back. I wish I had milk and cookies for you, but pretend, and open your hearts. Put aside anything that might keep you from entering this new version of this old story with a sense of wonder and possibility. Once upon a time, there were three, yes, three, very wise men who were all sitting in their own countries minding their own business when a bright star lodged in the right eye of each of them. It was so bright that none of them could tell whether it was burning in the sky or in their own imaginations. But they were so wise that they knew it didn't matter all that much. The point was, something beyond themselves was calling them, and it was a tug they had been waiting for all of their lives. Each in his own country had tried books, tried magic, tried astrology. One even tried reflexology. One had spent his entire fortune learning how to read and write runes. Another lived on nothing but dried herbs boiled in water. The third could walk on hot coals, but it really did nothing for him beyond get the great sense of relief when he came to the end of the walk each time. They were all glad for a reason to get out of town, because that was clearly where the star was calling them, out, away from everything that they knew how to manage and survive, out from under the reputations they had built for themselves, the high expectations and the disappointing returns. And so they set out, one by one, each believing that he was the only one with a star in his eye, until they all ran into one another on the road to Jerusalem. From a distance, each thought the other to be a mirage at first, a twinkling reflection made out of vapor and heat. But as they drew near to one another, they saw the star they had in common, and it was kind of like a tattoo or a secret handshake that made them brothers instantly before they even spoke. They were unanimous that the star was leading them to a place called Jerusalem, which made perfect sense since they had every reason to believe they were on their way to meet a king. They had no trouble gaining entrance to the palace. They looked the part, rich, and that was enough to get them a royal audience. Only the king they met was something of a disappointment. He was old and fat and had really, really bad breath. His skin was yellow as if bile had gotten the best of him, and the guards on either side of him shook so that their spears jingled against their shields. Without even conferring with one another, the wise men knew that he was not the one. So they asked him if he knew of any other kings in the general area. He had been picking at his fingernails until then, but their question seemed to get his attention in a big way. He looked right at them for the very first time, and when he saw the stars in each of their eyes, his own eyes grew perfectly round, like the eyes of a snake. Asking the wise men if they could please excuse him for a moment, the king stepped into his side chapel to confer with his clergy, who whipped out their concordances and told him what he wanted to know. Yes, in fact, they said, there was a little something in the book of Micah about a new ruler for Israel, but nothing to really get excited about. It had been there for a very long time. It seemed unlikely, but sure, why not? Go ahead, send these three wise men to a place called Bethlehem to do the reconnaissance work and save a little bit of time on the national security budget. So that was what the king did. He gargled, combed his hair, and went back to tell the wise men that they should go to a small place called Bethlehem at once, with his blessing, of course, on the condition that they come back and tell him who was his successor, so that he could send gifts and flowers and chocolate, of course. His breath smelled like pine sol, and the wise men left feeling queasy. But once they were back out in the night air, they could see the star clearly again and followed it right to the doorway of a one-room house in Bethlehem. It was a perfectly nice place, modest but well-built. It was just not the kind of place they had expected to find a king. A dog was sniffing the woodpile underneath the eaves in hopes of a mouse. Someone was practicing the lute next door, going over the same phrase again and again and again. The smell of dinner was still in the air, wheat cakes cooked on a griddle greased with sheep's fat, lentils with lots of garlic and rice. If they had chosen the place themselves, they might never have knocked, but the star had chosen it, so they did, and when the door opened, the couple inside almost died of fright. Not that the wise men noticed. With their arms full of gifts, they crowded into the small space, bumping their turbans on the rafters and snagging their beautiful robes on the rough furniture. All they could see was a baby who was not afraid and whose right eye shone with the exact same star that they had seen before they left home. They knew without a doubt it was he, whoever he was. They did not have a clue, but they knew what to do. They got on their knees, they said their prayers, they sang a small song and worshiped him. Then they gave him all the things that they had brought him. Of course, they were all the wrong things. They could see that now, things that he had no use for. They should have brought goat's milk or maybe a warm blanket, something shiny to hang above his crib. Only how could they have guessed they were meeting a baby? Well, the child's parents were very gracious. They thanked the foreigners for their gifts and held them up for the baby to see. Then, to the wise men's complete alarm, the child's mother picked up the baby and handed him to each one of them, so that each of them held a damp, soft, living weight in his arms for a moment. Then she took him back and nursed him until they all fell asleep right where they sat. In the morning, the wise men could not find their stars anywhere. They all looked in all the corners and under the chairs. The baby's mother even shook out his blankets, but after initial panic, the wise men said, never mind. They didn't think they would need them anymore. They had found what they were looking for, and they could not lose that ever. And as much as they hated to, they guessed that they had better be on their way. No, they would not be going back through Jerusalem, they said. All three of them had had a dream that night that they stayed clear of Jerusalem as if they needed to be told. If anyone in Jerusalem knew anything at all, they would be here instead of there. Besides, none of their old maps would work anymore. they would find a new way home. So the wise men picked up their packs, which were much lighter than before, and then they lined up in front of the baby to thank him for the particular gifts that he had given them. "What in the world are you talking about?" said the baby's mother. And then they told her what she could tell him later. "Thank you," the first one said, "for this home and the love that we have found here." Who couldn't figure out how to say that in runes? "For the baby flesh," said the second wise man, who had no interest in living herbs anymore. "And for a really great story," said the third wise man, who thought telling it would do more for him, always for the rest of his life, than walking on coals. And then the three wise men trooped outside, stretched their arms, kissed the baby one more time, said goodbye, and went home by another way. This, my friends, is the end of the story. And I pray in this new year, it is the beginning of ours. May it be so.